Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be back out with you this morning. God bless every one of you. I'm thankful for the scars. You know, the songs we'd heard this morning, I am very thankful. You know, we could even look at it in our own lives. I've got a scar on my wrist where one time I ran my hand through a storm door. I learned not to do that anymore. God gives us those scars in our lives to teach us a lesson, does he not? To show us what he has brought us from and where we have been brought from. I am thankful this morning. If you would, turn to Leviticus, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to read from the 9th and the 10th chapter. When you get there, please stand in honor of God's word this morning. And believe you, I'm not going to read both the chapters. I'm going to read a couple verses out of the last chapter, out of the 9th chapter, and a couple into the 10th chapter. Leviticus, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And then Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you this morning for this opportunity, Father, to be here. I thank you for the spirit that I feel. Lord, I thank you for your word, which Father, we know is the truth. It is, Father, we want to be able to preach all of it, Lord. We want to be able to bring the word out the way that you would want it. And Lord, it's only through the anointing that can happen here this morning. I pray that you would open the hearts here this morning, Lord, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were talking to them, Lord. And we will give you the praise, we will give you the glory, and we will give you the honor for it. And we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach on strange fire this morning. I'll tell you something, the absence of discernment has been very troubling to me. I don't know about you, but the absence of discernment in the churches today actually troubles me a lot. The reason I say that is because, you know what? If you can't discern the Word of God with the Bible in your hand, with the Bible at your house, with the Bible that you have, how do we ever expect to discern the Word of God if we can't do it when we have the Bible right in front of us? You can die of 1,000 heresies. You know that? You can. It's like someone with an immune deficiency. They can die of 1,000 different diseases. You know what? And a church can die of 1,000 different heresies, and it's our duty as Christians, I will say that here to you this morning, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to discern the scriptures that are given to us. It is with us that we should do that. Discernment of the Bible, whether it's good or whether it's bad, influences the way that we live. Everybody in here, you're influenced by the way that the Bible is discerned, by the way that you discern it here this morning. Amen? You are. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everybody that I look at in here this morning, I don't know whether you're visiting, whether you've been here, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, it's your duty to discern the word of God through the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. It is your word. Proper discernment leads to sound doctrine. May I say that here this morning? It leads to sound doctrine. Paul pointed it out in Titus 2:1-10. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Yet you know what? I'm here to preach to you this morning. I want to tell you this morning, praise God, I do not want to go out on some limb. I want to give you sound doctrine here this morning. I want to give it to you because I believe, you know, there's enough strange fire out there in the world today. It has become more and more evident that a massive part of professing Christianity lacks discernment. They do. There are those in Christianity today that are deceivers and are false teachers, and I will be blunt with you, and they know that they are deceivers, and they know that they are false teachers out there in the world today. They're in it for the money, and they know it, and they know that they're in it for the money. Exactly. Amen or oh my, but that's exactly what's going on out here today. And there are many that have been deceived by this type of preaching. That is why each of us need to be like the noble Bereans. How many of you in here know who the noble Bereans are? Anybody in here know who they are? Well, I'm going to introduce them to you today. Turn with me to Acts, the 17th chapter. We're going to begin with the 10th verse. We need to be like these people. Turn to Acts 17, 10 and 11. Man, I love to hear Bible pages turning. I really do. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were true. Did you get that? They didn't take Dave Long's word for it. They didn't even take Paul and Silas' word for it. They searched the scripture to find out whether what they're preaching or what they were saying was true. And I want to tell you this morning, you need to be like the noble Bereans, to where you search the scripture to find out what I preach to you is true. They studied the scripture that they had in those days. They did that, verifying everything that they were being taught and verifying everything that they would be said. And we should absolutely do the same thing that they did back then, that we should do. Whether you believe it or not, the highest calling, the greatest duty of mankind is to worship God. And can I tell you something here this morning? If the sign on the church says the worship service begins at 11, I'm here to tell you, you better watch what it's saying, because the worship service is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't begin at 11 o'clock at a certain time on a day and end at a certain time. It is because when we come to worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't end and it won't end. We are here to worship God with everything that we got, with everything that we have. The highest calling, Isaiah 43, 21. The people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth praise. Man alive, if you were born again of Jesus, born again of the blood of Jesus Christ, you should want to praise Him this morning with everything that you got in you. That there is worthy enough to praise Him, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are born again and heading to heaven one of these days. We can praise Him for that alone. God seeks true worshipers this morning. He does. Believers in Jesus Christ, they are true worshipers. Do you believe that this morning? The Scripture tells us that. Over in John 4:23, it says, "But the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father," what? "In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." In spirit and in truth. As a matter of fact, if you take a glimpse over into the book of Revelation, and whenever it looked up into heaven, let me say, it reveals that both the saints and the angels, what were they doing? They were praising God. They were worshiping God. Pray God. And you know what? It was perpetual is what they were doing. Perpetual praise. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They rested day or night, and they worship the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but if you don't like that type of thing, you better not go to heaven. Amen? There's going to be a lot of worship. There's going to be a lot of praise. I'm just here to tell you this morning. That's what it's going to be about. But hey, praise God. It said, when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure all things were created. We are meant to be a praising people, a worshiping people, and praise God. He wants that and He expects that out of us. Amen. Perpetual worship. I praise Him this morning. One of the most important things we can do as a Christian is to worship God. We are called to worship in the Spirit. 4:29 says, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You know where the truth comes from? The truth comes from the Word of God. That's where the truth comes from. Praise God. That's where it comes from. And you know what? And it's, what it talks about, we worship Him in spirit. That means that we worship Him with every bit of emotion that we can muster up and with all of our human faculties. We should be willing to worship Him with everything that we got. Now you're saying, what's this got to do with the scripture you read this morning? You bear with me. We're going to get there. We're going to get there in just a little bit. Bear with me this morning. And in truth, what is revealed in the Scripture, that's how we do it. For we are to love and worship God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. He gives parameters for us in the Word of God, and what He says, and if He doesn't take kindly to us getting out of the parameters in which we get into, what He has laid out in this Bible to worship and to praise Him. In chapter 9 of Leviticus, it tells us that Aaron offered a sacrifice for the people to God according to how God wanted it done. God told Moses to tell Aaron in Leviticus 9:6 this, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear upon unto you. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, do it the way God wants it done in His Word. And I'm going to tell you, God will bless you. God will bless. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm going to get into this a little bit. I'm not going to say you're going to be rich and wealthy and all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, it goes way beyond that. God will bless if we do it the way God wants us to do it. If you read the rest of chapter 9 like I did last time, what he was, he told God, and what he did, and God had promised him, and he did it, and God just did exactly what he promised he would do. Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering, and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they did what? They shouted and fell on their faces. God was pleased with what they did. Can I tell you something this morning? God impressed upon me as I was studying for the sermon this week. You know something? You can be as sincere as you want to be. That doesn't make you right. Amen? You can be as sincere as you want to be, and that does not make you right. I'm going to get into it here in just a little bit. I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants us to do it His way. He wants it done His way. So in verse 1 of chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them censers and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord. And it said, what does it say? And devoured them, and they died before the Lord. I'm here to say this morning, I would like to preach on that strange fire this morning. Just give me a little bit of time. Aaron was obedient, and God consumed the sacrifice. His sons were disobedient, and God consumed them. Do you get that? I don't want to go into a lot of details about them, but I can tell you this. It is suffice to say that when they come before the Lord, you know what? Whenever you and I come before the Lord, we better come with honor. We better come with humbleness. We better come willing to do it the way that He wants us to do it. Is this what it means to worship in truth? You know what? That's what it is, exactly what it's meaning for us to worship in truth. Let's make no mistake about it. The sons of Aaron were very honored, and they were respected. Did you know that? They were priests of the one true God. Moses was their uncle. Their names headed the list of nobles. If you go over to Exodus 24, you'll see their names over there. They headed the list of the nobles. They were one of the 70. If you remember right, when Moses went up into the mountain to get the law, there were 70 of them that went a part way, and they were there. They seen God. They heard what was going on. They were part of that. These two guys were not sinister. They were not wicked. They were honored men. Is what they were. They were part of that group. And listen to me. Just because you're sincere, again, I want to say it, something doesn't make it right at times. It just does not. They had come before the Lord in an unholy way and with a strange fire. The strange fire had come from another source. Let me say this to you. Whenever God come down and consumed that fire, consumed that offering, it lit that fire at that brazen altar. And that fire was lit. And that fire was lit, and that's where they were supposed to get the fire off of it, to take it back to the altar of incense and to burn it. And they didn't do it. They said, we know a better way. We know a way that we can do it. We'll do it better. You know what? I could just, this is just me thinking. Yeah, I can just see one of them. Hey, brother, do you have a lighter? You got a big lighter? We can do it better when God can do it. You got a lighter? We can do it. And they lit a fire, and it was a strange fire, and they went into worship. And you know what? God destroyed them because of that, because of what they had did. They didn't do it the way God wanted. You might think it's trivial. There might be some of you here this morning reading this, and what makes a difference? What fire is right? Fire is just fire. It may seem to this carnal. It may seem to this casual, self-indulgent generation like we live in today that, you know what, that is really a severe punishment, God. Why did you do it that way, God? Why was it that way? I have an opinion. I'm here to tell you something this morning. We do it God's way or we don't do it any way at all. God's Word lays it out there for us. That's the way that we have to do it. If you look at verse 10, verse 9, I think there was something else going on too. And it reads this, and let me read that verse to you. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. Why do you suppose God told that to Aaron? Why do you suppose he told that to Moses? I believe there's a little bit more going on there. I believe they had some liquid courage before they did what they did. I'm just here, that's just my humble opinion. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you do it the way God wants it done, or you don't do it at all. It might seem trivial to you about that this morning, but to me, it is not trivial. Listen, we learned the reckless and careless attitudes about spiritual things that provoked this. You know what? Strange fire is nothing new. I think of all types of strange fires in the churches today. There are strange doctrines, there are strange practices, and strange thinking. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Bear with me. Salvation without the blood of Christ is strange fire. There's no salvation other than through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His blood. Any other way is a strange fire. Worship without the Spirit of God is strange fire. A service without the Spirit of God in it is strange fire. Testimony without the Spirit of God moving you to testify is a strange fire. Preaching without the Spirit of God anointing, I'm here to tell you this morning, is a strange fire. The word used for strange in the strong concordance is unauthorized. Listen to me. If it's not anointed of God, and if it's not of God's Spirit trying to tell you what to do, it is a strange fire, and we need to be careful. Folks, they tried to approach God on their own way and their own terms. How many try to do that today? How many of them out there try to do that? How many churches today try to do that the same way? We're going to do it our way. How many denominations say we're going to do it our way, we're going to do it the way we want to, and they totally get God's Word out of the way? That is a strange fire, and that is not the way that it should be done. Just because the man behind the pulpit calls himself a pastor or a preacher or father or a bishop or a cardinal, can I say this? Doesn't mean he's anointed. doesn't mean that he's anointed of God to stand up behind a pulpit and preach the word of God. Just because a man dresses like a preacher doesn't mean that he's a preacher. Jeremiah 23, 21 and 22 says it best. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doing. Just because they called themselves prophet, God said it doesn't mean that they were prophets. I've observed going out on the airways and on the televisions today, into homes and into automobiles, a lot of strange fire. I've seen a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that has been inundating the preaching that's on television nowadays. You see, they will tell you God really doesn't want you to be sick. They will tell you that God really doesn't want you to be poor. They will tell you that if you belong to Him, He wants all His children to be wealthy. And if you would just sow the right seed, that's how it would be. I remember a few years ago, maybe some of the old ones in here do, maybe some of the young ones. Remember whenever one of those preachers was sending out the prosperity nail? All you had to do was nail it into your wall and you'd have prosperity the rest of your life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd like to have had a whole bag full of them. Strange fire. Strange fire. Yeah, what you got to do is you got to enclose $100 or $1,000 and send it to them. And you know what? They'll send it back to you and you'll plant that seed. I'm telling you, be prosperous the rest of your life. If this is really the case, what did Jesus say over Mark 8:36? For what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? If that's what Jesus truly intended, why did He say stuff like that? Or why did He say the poor you will always have with you? Pray God, I know God blesses, I know He does. But like I said, this is nonsense. This is strange fire. And this is going out to people. And believe you me, they have fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. They have fell for every bit of it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not right. It's strange fire, folks. A love-only gospel is being preached out there. You'll see your sins will be acknowledged, repented, in order to be saved by the grace of God. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what? What they're trying to tell you is the salvation. You know what? If you all you got to do is come up and shake my hand. We'll let Greg pray with you. We'll let somebody else pray with you. And you don't have to worry about praying through. I am a praying through preacher. Amen. I believe you have to pray through. I believe you have to pray through to God. And I believe that that's when you get it. You just don't come up here and shake my hand or come up here and let somebody say some kind of a canned prayer over top of you and you receive Jesus into your heart. Salvation by works is a strange fire. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can work until you're blue in the face, and you will not be saved any more than the drunk out here on the street unless you receive Jesus into your heart. Jesus answered and said, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, Rodney read this this morning, said this this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb? And be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have got to be born of the Spirit of God to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Folks, Nadab and Abihu did neither sanctify nor did they glorify God. In verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me before all people, and I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron just lost his two sons. By the way, did you notice that God sent that consuming fire after them, it didn't burn up their clothes? They said, people come back a little bit later, and they said, pick them up by their coats and take them out of here. It just killed them. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. Listen to me. Folks, Aaron knew that they had did wrong. He knew it. I'm here to tell you this morning, it was a strange fire. Listen, folks, what's going on in churches today, what's going on in some churches today, I'm here to tell you, in my humble opinion, neither sanctifies nor does it glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's more like a Broadway production in a Starbucks place is what it's like. Smoke, strobe lights, easy chairs, and eat and drink what you like in the sanctuary. It doesn't make any difference. This is a typical worship service. It isn't some kind of a special program going on. That's a typical worship service. 1 Corinthians 11:22. What? Have ye not houses to eat in and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? I'm here this morning to tell you, brothers and sisters, we do it God's way. That's the way that he wants it done. Not the way Dave Long wants it done. Not the way we do it God's way. I'm here to tell you something this morning. Amazing grace is still saving people today. The Holy Spirit is still putting convicting power upon people's lives today. You don't need smoke. You don't need easy chairs. You don't need Starbucks coffee. What you need is Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen? You need Jesus to come into your life. You need Jesus to change your life. We see a lot of strange fire out there today. It doesn't matter how you do it, just as long as you're sincere. That's as much Oscar Mayer as I can handle right there. That's a bunch of baloney. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It doesn't matter just as long as you're sincere. That isn't the way it is. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the order. It doesn't matter how you approach God, as long as you approach Him. It doesn't matter about the details, as long as you worship God. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. God just wants you to love Him on your way to heaven. We can all just join hands, sing kumbaya, and go right on up to heaven. That is not what the Bible says. It's not what it says. We have to be born again. We have to be saved. We have to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. It isn't no wonder some of the nonsense is being preached in churches today and some of the sin that they get by with or trying to get by with. I'm here to tell you, they will not get by with them because God will have His day. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 1 Corinthians 10:31-33. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen. Amen. Remember when Peter... Listen, we've got to be aware of strange fire. You know what? We can't kindle it. We can't let it kindle here in the church. And we can't warm ourselves by a strange fire. Look at what happened to Peter. Remember whenever he was there and he denied the Lord 3 times. What was he doing? He was warming himself beside the fire. I'm here to tell you this morning, we cannot do that. We cannot do that. We have to make sure that whatever's coming in our path, will come down our life, is not strange fire. You may be saying, well, why doesn't God just do to people today like he did to Nadab and Abihu? You know what? What makes you think he's not? What makes you think he's not? I'll tell you what, I can go up and down through this state and I can find a lot of dead churches. Amen? What makes you think that he's not? What makes you think that he hasn't done that? Strange fire is killing more of them every day. It's killing more and more of them every day because they're not willing to stand upon what God's Word says and preach it the way that He wants it. You know what? People get mad at you. They're going to say, well, I don't know. I don't believe in that or not. But you know what? It's not on me. It is on you then. Folks, can I tell you something? Nadab and Abihu were in 50 feet of the mercy seat whenever God took them out. 50 feet of the mercy seat. Imagine that. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. You're not almost saved. You're not almost anything. You're either in or you're out. And I'm going to tell you something else here this morning. You don't want to be like Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to be like Paul. I want to do more than just persuade you. I hope everybody in here this morning comes to know the grace and the love and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And comes to know that, you know what, that there are a lot of strange fires out there. And you know what we need to do? To the best of our ability, we need to put them out. Strange fires. See what it did to these two? Look what it's doing to the churches today. I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, we need to put the strange fires out. If they're in your life this morning, if you're even harboring any of those thoughts in your mind, I'm here to tell you this morning, put that fire out. Get it out right now. Get back into the Word of God. Listen to what God's Word says. Not what everybody else is trying to put to you out here on the TV or on the radios. Listen to what God's trying to say. They come and get a song this morning.